Well, hello, folks. Good to see you again. Welcome back to Your Money and a Cup of Joe. I'm Ryan Ruff, your moderator. And as always, I'll be joined in just a moment by Joe Kaleo of the Kaleo Wealth Management Group. And we're going to be diving into a really interesting conversation today. You know, a lot of the discussions we have on this show are primarily wealth management related. This is kind of a wealth management, you know, pseudo conversation that can come into play every now and then. And to kind of set the scene, look, our topic is ultimately about how to respond to a lawsuit in the event that you are sued. And now this is an area of concern that faces a lot of affluent individuals, business owners, and families these days that do have a level of significant wealth. So Joe and I thought it'd be beneficial if we sat down today to talk about, you know, some of the asset protection planning strategies that can be put in place to help out, you know, also what to do if you are sued. And then of course, the types of professionals that you should be thinking about to enlist on your team to help mitigate some of these challenges in the event that you ultimately are sued. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome Joe aboard. Joe, good to see you. How you doing?
Ryan, doing great this morning. How about you? Good to see you.
I can't complain. Looking forward to getting into this conversation. There's a lot at store here. Obviously, you know, when the moment happens of somebody being sued, that's never a moment anybody is looking forward to, shall we say. But why don't you kind of set the scene for us on today's discussion, Joe, from your perspective? And nobody wants to think about getting sued or being sued or even just being involved in a lawsuit in any way, shape, or form. But it is a concern that faces a lot of affluent folks out there. What say you?
I think you're exactly right, Ryan. I mean, the U.S. has long been recognized as one of the most litigious nations in the world, if not the most litigious. And here, anyone can sue just about anyone, no matter the validity of the case. So it probably shouldn't be a tremendous surprise to anybody, or someday, if someone sues you for some real or perceived wrong that you've done to them. That's especially true if you have substantial wealth or own a business. Two characteristics that make you a high value target for a lawsuit.
Joe, in your experiences, do you find that the people who are in danger of being sued typically aren't prepared for it or as well prepared as they should be?
I think we can answer it two ways, Ryan. We can say they've thought about it and they've tried to prepare, but they may have missed something, or somewhere along the way, there's something that can be enhanced or done better. Right. So in our experience, many of the wealthiest folks that we've worked with are well aware of litigation risks that they potentially face either now or in the future, and they do take steps to build walls around their assets. So by engaging in asset protection planning, a key component of wealth management, that key component of a comprehensive wealth plan, they're legally shielding or trying to shield their assets from future lawsuits and creditors. It is a practice we can all learn from, right, as we look to insulate our wealth. That said, asset protection strategies don't always guarantee your wealth is secure. For example, it's essential that asset protection plans be in place before you're sued. So actions taken to shield the assets after a lawsuit has been filed are likely to be reversed by the courts. And even when steps are taken to protect your wealth, you can still be sued. Worse, depending upon your level of wealth, the asset protection strategies you have implemented and other circumstances could still end up losing a great deal in a lawsuit. So you have to take steps. You need to review it periodically and look at what you've got protected and where there could be gaps.
Sure, sure. And folks, when it comes to asset protection planning as a whole, Joe and I have spent a few different episodes talking about some of the strategies and solutions that he, you know, works with in his clients on a regular basis and stuff to consider. So I'd recommend, you know, traveling back. But let's dive into something more kind of high level, if you will. Joe, what could somebody be doing now to, you know, potentially protect them from any sort of litigation?
Yeah, good news is when nasty legal action appears inevitable, you can take steps that possibly defuse the situation and come out in good shape. One important move is to have a team in place to develop a coordinated response. It's very common to reach out to professionals for help with lawsuits with the aim of avoiding litigation. Different types of professionals may get involved depending upon the nature of the issues. So if multiple professionals have become involved in the process, there needs to be a coordinator, often known as a litigation problem solver. At the same time, savvy lawyers are regularly a necessity, and they usually take a leading role in diffusing litigious situations.
Well, then, Joe, what should somebody be looking for in that litigation problem solver that they would want on their side?
Yeah, I think one quality that stands out, especially with attorneys, is are they adept negotiators? Their ability to push when it's time to push, when it's to pull back, when it's time to pull back, all of this is crucial to diffusing the confrontation, right? They're very capable, experienced litigators. And they if they're not, then they make such expertise at their disposal, such as partners within their firms. So understanding the ins and outs and what shapes the negotiation, that becomes very important to what's going to happen. So should negotiations fail, being prepared for the inevitable trial is a necessity. Litigation problem solvers also have an extensive network of powerful relationships then with other professionals, and they can draw upon that. So for example, an attorney may benefit from being able to bring in leading private investigators or even turn to the police. Sometimes it's even about the people that they know, their connections to those people, and what can they call in. So consequently, attorneys and others who work in the same community as the person being sued can potentially have an advantage over professionals that are working from outside that community.
You know, Joe, I think it'd be helpful. Why don't you take us through kind of what this scenario would look like? How might that team operate if somebody's being sued?
Yeah. Typically, Ryan, a process is followed to deal with the impending litigation or even the potential threat of litigation. The process involves a series of steps. However, because of the nature of litigation, there's a lot of back and forth and adjustments. So the steps are, you know, far from set in stone. Usually the process is triggered by a lawsuit being filed or the realistic possibility of that happening. Then the nature and severity of the situation are assessed, which is a very detailed analysis of the potential threat. The possible impacts on your world are evaluated, and the internal assessment then is looked at. Most of the time, some form of scenario analysis is employed. Here, the what-if questions are addressed. Some examples include, what would be the impact of the lawsuit on my business? What might happen during the legal discovery process? And what will the lawsuit do to my reputation within the community? Those are all important questions to ask and answer, at least internally. And it can be useful to detail all the implications. I'll get it right. It can be useful to detail all the implications that can come from the lawsuit, especially from going to court to settling the matter privately. There's also an external assessment, Ryan, and that's important because it's a deep dive into the person or the organization suing you. The more that's known about these parties, from their motivations to the consequences for them winning or losing the case to the resources they have in their corner, the better. Investigators might even be enlisted to help develop a better understanding of these parties.
Sure, sure. This makes total sense. Internal assessment and external assessment, you know, looking across the table at who's suing you. What comes next? I would imagine this is where a lot of, you know, let's just say more action is taken, but what comes next here?
Yeah. Now you're armed with information and insights. So the next step is to try and work out a deal. The aim is to negotiate a mutually acceptable solution that avoids going to court. That can be easy and straightforward, or it can be amazingly difficult and complicated. The bargaining process tends to be influenced by three main issues: the facts of the case, the leverage each side has, and then, dare I say it, Ryan, the egos of both parties. While negotiating, the two sides are likely to be continuously updating their assessments, and negotiation per se will provide greater perspective of what someone may or may not have in terms of information and evidence. Meanwhile, each side can continue to look both internally as well as externally. The result could mean success, defined as, say, an agreement between the parties that avoids litigation, or failure, which means going forward with a lawsuit. And if a lawsuit proves unavoidable, all the work done to date should be beneficial in making the case in court.
Of course, of course. And Joe, I think now would be a good time to circle back to the whole idea surrounding asset protection strategies. So in your eyes, how does a proactive advanced asset protection strategy and the planning around that ultimately help avoid litigation, let's say, even in the first place?
Yeah, Ryan, it's an excellent question, right? Asset protection planning can help dissuade some people from suing you and persuade them to work out a settlement. This type of planning is not designed to hide your wealth, but rather to use legal strategies and products to shield your assets from litigants. Actually, being very clear about the asset protection strategies you have in place can be beneficial. It can intimidate potential litigants if they see the strong barriers you've built around your wealth. Even though many of the super rich incorporate asset protection planning into their wealth planning strategies, they do tend to reevaluate this aspect of their planning in the wake of actual or potential litigation. And that typically means they want to find and correct clear weaknesses in their current planning. It also means they may have to enhance existing safeguards and potentially put more safeguards in place. The logic is simple, right? And it's pretty straightforward. The experience of being sued or potentially being sued is such that the super rich want to avoid the experience in the future as much as possible. So they seek to upgrade their existing asset protection plan. And they also, we've talked about stress testing. They often need to and should look at stress testing their plans to see how existing plans would hold up under various litigation scenarios that they might face. Ryan, I can think of three clients right at the beginning of this year that we looked at, and they already have seen with second opinion and stress testing where there have been some gaps. So we've already helped to close those gaps just since the first of the year. We're very happy about it. They're very happy about it. For many people, it's often a great deal of emotional stress resulting from significant lawsuits. So the stress not only impacts the person being sued, if they are sued, but it can have a ripple effect causing complications with family and business. So additionally, lawsuits can become quite distracting and getting in the way of effectively managing your business.
Well, Joe, as our conversation's kind of coming to a head here, whether it's the asset protection to avoid litigation in the first place or dealing with the litigation when it's upon you, the common thread here is making sure you have a trusted team of professionals around you to be able to help you navigate this very complex time in your life. So what would you say is the best way that somebody could find these experts and gather that team, should they need them in a situation like this?
Yeah, I think, Ryan, you need to go back and you need to say when you're facing a lawsuit, the wealthy are usually referred to litigation problem solvers, right? These professionals, often attorneys, who are often under the radar due to the nature of their services. They accept new clients only by referral. Often problem solvers are best known among top wealth managers, other professionals within networks of experts whom they've worked with to provide a wide range of planning services. So a business owner might not know the best attorney to turn to in a time like this to address potentially nasty litigation, but with his or her wealth manager and with other professionals who've had this issue and experience, they'll know who to turn to when things are on the line. So yes, very, very important.
Of course. And Joe, I know you have conversations with your clients surrounding difficult challenges, obviously the asset protection problem, but whenever litigation comes into play, this is, part of that team of trusted professionals I know that you work with and bring to the table for your clients. So for anybody that experiences this moment, or maybe they're in need of that stress test or second opinion to check and see if they have any gaps in the foundation of their asset protection plan, what's the best way they could get in touch with you guys to just start that conversation?
Yeah, Ryan, have them give us a call, shoot us an email. We're happy to have a conversation, be a sounding board, do a stress test, give them a second opinion. Certainly, this is an area that we've worked very diligently in over the last 12 to 24 months, and it's been fruitful for our clients to protect themselves, if you will. Happy to have that conversation with folks.
Fantastic. Well, Joe, you're a busy guy. I know you've got some clients to serve before you head out the door today, so I'll let you get back to doing that, but appreciate you, and I'll see you back on the next one.
Sounds great, Ryan. Good to see you. Cheers, bud.
Cheers, indeed. And hey, Joe, and as well as our audience, we want to say thank you guys for being with us here on the show today. Look, if you took anything away from today's discussion, I know it was a lot of conversation surrounding litigation. It's a topic that most people don't want to talk about because it's alarming. You know, litigation is a big moment that could happen in your life and put your business and different things at jeopardy. But look, it's important to talk about because you recognize the importance of what Joe mentioned in that asset protection planning. So if you learned a thing or two from today's discussion, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the platform you did check us out on today so you don't miss out on great conversations like these. But look, for Joe, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long today. But again, we appreciate you all stopping by and being with us on Your Money and a Cup of Joe. This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated. UBS Financial Services Incorporated does not verify and does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. This material is made available for use by CEG. Neither UBS Financial Services Incorporated nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, member SIPC. Joe Kaleo at Kaleo Wealth Management Group, UBS Financial Services Incorporated. Office address 200 West Highway 6, Suite 400 in Waco, Texas, 76712.